the 10th chapter of Joshua, and found there a place where the man by whom the walls of Jericho fell commanded, and the sun was made to stand still. At the command of a man, the sun stood still. I sat and meditated on that a while. We're told in the 14th verse of that chapter, there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. But in Mark chapter 10 and verse 49, we see something far, far, far more remarkable. Look at it with me. And Jesus stood still. Now, it's one thing to cause the sun to stand still. But we have before us a picture of a man who, crying for mercy, caused God who made the sun to stand still. Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Scripture says Jesus stood still. As our Lord Jesus was coming up out of Jericho on His way to Jerusalem to go to redeem His people, He heard a poor blind beggar crying for mercy. And at the sound of his cry, we are told Jesus stood still. What an amazing picture of God's amazing grace we have before us. Here, the omnipotent God is stopped in His tracks and held fast by the cry of a sinner in need of mercy. Wonder if there's anybody like that here tonight. Anybody in need of mercy? Anybody? Cry out to the Son of God where you sit, and I'm telling you, He'll stand still again, right here, for your sake. Our Lord Jesus was on His way up to Jerusalem, there to accomplish our redemption, there to fulfill the will of God, there to complete His mission in this world, and nothing could stop Him. He had set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. You'll recall when He went up to Bethany, because Lazarus was dead, and He went there to raise Lazarus from the dead. Thomas said, "Lord, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee." But they saw that He could not be restrained, and Thomas said, "Well, let's go die with Him." Because the Lord Jesus could not be stopped from His mission. His disciples tried again and again to keep Him from going up to Jerusalem, not understanding the significance of His words, that He must there go to fulfill the will of God and fulfill the Scriptures. The Jews tried to stop Him all the time, constantly. They tried to prevent Him in Satan's hands from going to the work which God the Father sent Him to perform in this world to redeem us at Calvary. No doubt there were multitudes, multitudes, of whom we do not read in the Scriptures, but just those that were told about in the Word of God. They tried to stone Him. They tried to throw Him off of a cliff. They tried every way under the sun to keep Him from going to Jerusalem. Nothing could stop Him. Nothing. Not even the Roman soldiers arresting Him in the garden could stop Him. He had set His face to suffer and die in our stead. But now, as He is on His way at last, in this final, just short time before He goes up to Jerusalem, He hears the cry of a man, "Jesus, thou Son of David," not just any man, a certain blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. He said, "Have mercy on me." And the Lord Jesus stopped right where He was. Kind of like that woman who, with an issue of blood, reached out her hand and touched the hem of His garment. And immediately, He said, "Who touched me? I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now let's read the text together. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples," space of about 10 miles. Now, let me put together the gospel narrative for you. As they came into Jericho, there were crowds gathered everywhere. Folks just pressing against Him everywhere. And Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus, who He was. He was a curious little fella. And he climbed up in the tree so he could see over the heads of the crowd. And the Lord Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was and said to that publican, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must abide at your house." He said, this man also is a son of Abraham. As he went along his way, Luke tells us that there was a man who was blind, much like this blind Bartimaeus. And the Lord Jesus healed this blind man as he was coming into Jerusalem. And then he passed through Jerusalem. And on the way out of Jerusalem, Matthew in Matthew chapter 20 tells us that the Lord Jesus healed two other blind men. He seems as he's going to the place where he would perform his greatest miracle, just scatters miracles. He called Zacchaeus, the publican, forgave his sin, went home with him. He called a blind man and called two more blind men and healed them by his grace. Now read what he says. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard a commotion, a great crowd coming up out of Jerusalem, or out of Jericho, and Bartimaeus, he heard the commotion. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now surely the place whereon we stand tonight is holy ground. Let us then put off our shoes of idle curiosity and theological speculation and turn aside for a little while from the trifles and cares of this world to see this great sight. Surely there are lessons to be learned here that are far more valuable than gold. Let me give you a few. Number one, true faith is frequently, commonly found where it is least expected. There were great multitudes who followed the Lord Jesus as he walked along the way and as he talked to people. Some followed him for loaves, others because they loved it. Some followed him out of curiosity, others because of their conviction by his Spirit. Some followed him for greed, others followed him because they wanted his grace. But among the multitudes who followed him this day, there were a few, very few probably, but a few, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many who saw his miracles, many who ate the loaves and fishes, many who saw for themselves firsthand the power of God the Son demonstrated in this man who is Jesus of Nazareth, were still blind in their sin and knew him not and believed him not. But here is a blind man, a man who never saw a miracle, a man who never saw the radiance of the Master's face, a man who never beheld his eyes as he spoke his word. But this man knew the Master only by hearsay, only by the testimony of others, and yet he believed him. His name is Bartimaeus, a blind man. He's a pretty good picture of us. The name Timaeus, Dr. Gill tells us, suggests the idea of honor. And the Jews say that Bartimaeus was a well-known man because his father, Timaeus, was a very honorable man. And Bartimaeus, now the son of this very honorable man who was blind and reduced to poverty and to begging, and he sits by the highway side. That's a pretty good picture of us. We're the sons and daughters of a man created an honorable man. God created Adam upright in the garden, but we, by reason of our sin in Adam, came into this world and spent our days in blindness, reduced to poverty, spiritual poverty, reduced to nothing before God Almighty except sin and corruption and darkness. And the Lord Jesus came to this blind man. Now, Bartimaeus simply heard other men and women talking about the Savior. The Scripture tells us here, when he heard. I looked at that and I thought, probably it was sort of like this. The Lord Jesus had been, he came up to Jericho and he called Zacchaeus and he healed that blind man and he went through the streets of Jericho and man, it was a buzz. Did you hear what he did? He went to that publican, Zacchaeus. He went down to old Zac's house, went home with him, said he was a son of Abraham and he'd come to call him that day. Did you hear about that blind man that he healed? And as they were coming out of Jericho, healed two more of them. And Bartimaeus heard the gossip about him. Oh, blessed gossip. That's a good way to witness to folks. You want to witness to folks? Just gossip to them about what the Master's done. He heard the gossip about the Master. And when he heard, he believed. Now, perhaps he had heard how the Master had healed these other blind men, how that he had called Zacchaeus. But without question, he heard who he was. Now, I don't have any idea how much he heard or didn't hear, but he heard this. He heard that his name was Jesus of Nazareth. He heard his name was Joshua, Deliverer. Joshua, Jehovah, who saves. He heard that his name was the Son of David. He claimed to be that one who was the King, who was spoken of in the Old Testament Scriptures. And this man speaks to this one now and says, Jesus, thou Son of David. More than that, he heard he was in charge because he called him the Lord. He called him the Lord. He heard about the Lord's mighty miracles of mercy. And he heard he was passing by. Here I sit. There's one thing I've wanted all my life, more than anything else. Just to see. And now this one who comes, God from heaven in human flesh, who's given life to many and who's given sight to many, now he comes my way. He's passing by. If ever I'm going to see him, it's going to be right now. He may never pass this way again, and he didn't. And as he was passing by, he cried, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus believed the Son of God. Oh, how his faith puts our faith to shame. We have books of theology and apologetics and evidence. We have biographies of men who for years have served the Lord and faithfully witnessed to his miracles of grace and mercy in their lives. And yet how little there is of this childlike confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even among true believers, how little faith there is. The humble soul believes God and walks in peace. Bartimaeus just believed God. He just believed God. Scripture says Abraham believed God. God said, I'm going to give you a son. He believed God. God said, I'm going to protect you. He believed God. God said, I'm going to be with you. He believed God. Just believed God. The humble soul hears God's word and believes him. But learned, intelligent, brilliant, theological-minded, well-trained men spend their days dissecting and studying the things of God and spend their days harassed with doubts and questions of unbelief. God forgive us. I don't know. I don't know whether I know the Lord or not. I hear preachers talk like that all the time. You studied too much. Don't know whether I ever really experienced God's grace or not. You're looking the wrong place. The humble soul said, I'm blind and naked and poor and needy. The only hope I've got is the Son of God. I trust Him. And being as how He came to save poor, blind, helpless, naked, needy sinners, I qualify. He believed God. Secondly, if we hope for mercy, we must avail ourselves of every means of good to our souls. I keep stressing this because I realize that men, especially as they get a mental idea of God's sovereignty, sort of push this to the background. I know that God's sovereign. I know that salvation is of the Lord. I know that every chosen, redeemed sinner will be called by God's grace and they will enter into heaven. You know that too. And yet, I know that every man is responsible for his own soul and that we are responsible before God to use the means at our disposal which God has given us. This man was blind, but he wasn't deaf. And he used what he had and heard that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And when he heard that, he was found sitting by the highway side crying for mercy. What wisdom he displayed. He's a blind beggar. Now, he could sit back and say, well, I live back here on the back side of town, down this alley, up the corner here, and if the Lord wants me to eat, he'll bring me some food. I'll just sit here and wait. Kind of dumb, but I'll sit here and wait. I believe God's sovereign. No, this blind beggar found somebody to take him and put him in the busiest place in town so that if there was anybody likely to give him anything to eat, any money, to give anything to him, they'd trip over him sitting in the way. They'd have to walk over him to get by him. He said, I'm hungry. I'm going to go where I'm most likely to get something to eat. I'm needy. I'm going to go where I'm most likely to obtain mercy. I'm blind. I'm going to go where I'm most likely to be in the eyesight of other men. This man went and put himself by the highway side, hoping to meet with some who might be compassionate to him. And I'm saying to you, you who are yet without Christ and you who know Him, we are responsible under God to use the means He's given us. You be wise enough, be smart enough, be obedient enough not to neglect the assembling of God's saints. Don't do it. Don't do it. Say, well, I realize that church is kind of important, but other things are, other things are important. When you forsake the assembling of God's saints, you've forsaken the one place where God said He'd meet with sinners. You've forsaken the one place where the Lord of glory promised to assemble with people. You've forsaken that one place where God promised to spread out His Word and feed men with manna from heaven. Don't forsake the reading of God's Word. Don't do it. Whatever else you have to give up, don't give up reading and studying this book. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. Study the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures so that you may know the things of God. And don't forsake prayer. Don't forsake personally worshiping God, calling on Him. These are God's ordained means of grace. To despise them is to despise His grace. To neglect them is to neglect Him, His grace, and your own soul. To use them is to sit like this blind man, right smack dab in the middle of the road of mercy. If the Lord Jesus is going to pass me by, He's going to have to trip over me to pass me by. I need mercy. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I'll be there. I'll be there. God helping me, I'm going to be there too. I'm going to be there. Well, my folks think about coming to visit us this weekend. What are you going to do? I'm going to go gather God's people. Well, man, they're coming from the other side of the world. I don't care if they're coming up from hell. I'm going to go gather with God's people. And if they're determined to go to hell, I'm still going to go gather with God's people. Doesn't matter. Oh, well, don't get to see Him but once a year. I don't get to see Him just rarely, rarely. And I'm going to be there when He's determined to show Himself. Thirdly, we learn once more by the example of this blind man that as the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, so the violent take it by force. Look at this 48th verse. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I can picture this old boy. He's sitting down in, by the highway side, and the Lord Jesus is coming by with his entourage. His entourage wasn't much. He's just a crowd of ragamuffins. But he comes by in this great crowds all around him, and everybody's hanging on every word. What's he going to say next? What will he do next? And here's this dirty, poor, blind beggar making a ruckus. Jesus! Jesus! Thou Son of David! Thou Son of David! Have mercy on me! And he keeps crying. And folks came over and said, shh, you're making too much noise. Just wait a little bit. If the master's going to say anything to you, he'll speak to you. Don't get so excited. Don't be so quick about this thing. Don't be in such a rush. You're too early. You're too late. You're too old. You're too blind. You're too poor. You're too dirty. And he cried all the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I don't pretend to know a great deal about prayer. But I see four things here that exemplify true prayer. And I'm certain these four things will always be found where true prayer is. First, there's faith. He said, Lord, thou Son of David. And secondly, there's humility. Have mercy on me. Now, this beggar asked for something he had never asked for before. He'd been sitting by the highway side all of his adult life with his tin cup begging for money. For the first time, he's begging for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. And there's importunity. These folks, they said, now you be quiet. And he continued to cry the more. Our Lord in Luke chapter 11 talks about prayer. And when he talks about prayer, he tells us that true prayer implies something concerning importunity. It implies something concerning this matter of being earnest before God. If you want something from God, knock. But don't just knock once. Just knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and it'll be open to you. You see, if you need mercy, that's what you do. If you're hungry and you need bread, you go and man said, but I'm in bed and I've put my wife and children to bed. Don't bother me now. He said, but I'm hungry. I got to have some bread. That's how our Lord taught us to pray. Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And where there is true prayer, there's perseverance. Bartimaeus needed mercy. He knew that Christ could give him mercy. And he knew that Christ alone could give him the mercy he needed. He might never get this opportunity again. Therefore, in spite of the opposition he met with, in spite of all the clamor of other men, this man seemed hardly to notice it. He just ignored what they said and cried all the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now then, learn this as well. Oh, God help you to learn it. Oh, how the Son of God loves sinners. Sometimes He shows that love in the beginning in strange ways. But our Savior's love for this poor, needy soul is seen in everything He did for it. In verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Oh, if He calls you, you've got reason to be of good comfort. If He calls you, that's because He chose you. He calls you, that's because He redeemed you. He calls you, that's because He's put away your sins. That's because He's come to give you life eternal. The Lord Jesus graciously blinded this man's eyes for a season. So, a preacher, how can you say that? Well, if he hadn't been blind, he wouldn't have been by the highway side, he wouldn't have been begging, and he wouldn't have known his need of mercy. I read the other day about Samson. He was fell in love with this Philistine girl. He told his daddy, he said, go get me that woman. I love her. She pleases me well. And his father said to him, Samson, why go to those uncircumcised Philistines? This is contrary to the commandment of God. This is contrary to the word of God. It's going to bring misery and trouble to you. It's going to bring misery and trouble to us. And the scripture says this. He didn't realize it was of the Lord, because the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. Samson's fall and Samson's sin and Samson's pain and all the misery he brought on himself because of his love for that woman was all in the hands of God's purpose, because God was determined to overthrow the Philistines. And this is how he's going to do it. He's going to ultimately bring grace because of this thing. Bartimaeus was blind. But the reason he was blind was so the Lord Jesus could give him sight. That's the reason. So other men are blind, yeah, but this man was blinded because the Lord was gracious to him. Gracious to him. Somebody asked Fanny Crosby one time if she considered her blindness her greatest affliction. And she said, oh, no, it's one of my greatest blessings. She said, the first face I'll ever see is the face of my Redeemer. The first face I'll ever see is Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then the Son of God at the time of mercy sent somebody to tell this man about Him, His greatness, His grace, and His glory. And the Lord Jesus passed His way in mercy, love, and grace, and He stood still. God Almighty came where this man was and stood still to hear this man's prayer. Oh, listen to that. Listen to that. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, how the prayer of a needy sinner arrests the heart of the Son of God. He stood still. What sweet music. And then He called him. He called him particularly and distinctively, and sent a word of comfort along with the call. And He spoke this word of grace to him. What is it you want? He said, give me my sight. And the Master said, it's done. It's done. What is it you want? Oh, I want to see. I've been blind all my life. I want to see. I hear others talk about the glory of God, the grace of God. I hear others talk about forgiveness and mercy. I hear others talk about freedom in Christ. I hear others talk about the burden of sin being taken away. Oh, God, I want to see. Give me my sight. It's done. Your faith has made you whole. Your looking to me, who alone can make you whole, has made you whole. Your faith has saved you, he said. Not that faith itself has any power at all, but faith looking to Christ gets everything. And the Lord Jesus went to Jerusalem to redeem this sinner. Now then, let me show you one more thing. Faith always gets what it seeks. The Master called this man, and the Scripture says he rose. He rose from the dung heap of fallen humanity in his spiritual darkness and cast off his garment. That's exactly what sinners do when they come to Christ. They start throwing off the filthy garments of not just their sin and ungodliness, but their sin and ungodliness of self-righteousness. And they cast off these spider webs of ungodliness. And they come to Him. He came, but He didn't just come anywhere. He came to Jesus, the Master. And immediately, He received His sight. Not just with His eyes. He received His sight here. How do you know that? Because the Master said, go thy way. And He followed Jesus in the way. Because now the Master's way became His way, and He followed Him. He followed Him in the path He walked. They tell me He's going up to Jerusalem. They tell me He said He's going there to die, and He's going to rise the third day. I'm going to walk in His steps. I'm going to follow Him. He followed Christ, who is the way, doctrinally hung on His every word. I can just imagine. This fellow, he's been poor, black, dirty, all his life long. And now he sees the Son of God. And he says, I'm going to listen to everything he's got to say. Whatever he says, that's what I want. And that's what I'll hear, and that's what I'll do. And he walked in his ordinances and worshiped him in the way. He followed him in the way until he followed him to glory. This blind man was healed by his grace. May God be pleased to grant you who are blind eyes to see. And may he be pleased reminding us of his grace to revive our cold, empty souls.
Amen.